We've had a good day in the house of God, hadn't we? Good eats, good preaching, good singing. Well, some good preaching, anyways. Amen. This little fellow done a good job. I don't know how this will be, but amen. But take your Bible tonight and turn to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. And it is good to be in this church. I love Brother Allen. He's one of my best friends in life and been a big influence in my life. Amen. And Miss Linda, we love them. We're like family. Amen. Their kids are weird, but we love them too, I guess. Amen. But Romans chapter 8 here tonight, the Bible says in verse number 1, says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
Well, buddy, you got in then.
Amen.
No condemnation. Said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Uh-oh, there's kind of a stipulation involved there, ain't there? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's another time that little stipulation is put in there. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, we're living in an age now, folks, in Bible-believing churches where you don't hear a whole lot about the Spirit of God. You do in our ranks. Amen. You do around us. But I'm telling you, there's a dearth in the land. Amen. The Spirit of God, man, if we're not walking by the Spirit, we're a mess. Amen. And verse number 6, here's what I want to preach about tonight. It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please him. But I want to preach here tonight about that in verse 6, to be carnally minded is death. And I want to preach a little while tonight about the spiritual death that happens. And buddy, people do. People die spiritually. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, God, for this church. Thank you for this young man that preached tonight. Pray you'll help him and use him. And God, the singing, the songs of Zion, this church, and Lord, having the Rymans wait on us today, Lord, thank you for them. And God, all that you've done for great friendships. And Lord, help us here tonight. We're totally dependent upon thee. And God, we're tired of seeing death. And Lord, help us, God, spiritually, Lord, to move in this place. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I have seen a lot of people die since I'm getting older now. Amen. That's one of the bummers of getting older, is especially when you have old friends. All my friends are older than me, so I'm watching them all. They're dropping like flies. Amen. And I hate seeing that death, and I hate saying goodbye. But I'll tell you what, if somebody's serving God and love the Lord and they're going to heaven when they die, you can live with that. But I'm going to tell you what's hard. What's hard is to see somebody you love, somebody you know, spiritually die and leave church. Amen. Leave their family. That's a tough death. And everyone that I've seen since I've been saved in churches that have died, and there's been some here that I love that are gone. But as many as I've seen die physically, I've seen hundreds more die spiritually. Amen. I remember where they used to sit. I remember some of them used to sing up here. I remember some of them used to preach. And what happened? They died. spiritually. My dad died when he was 84. I believe now that was, I think, 14 years ago now since my dad died. And is a cold reality, man. I mean, that's 14 years ago, and I still want to take the phone and call my dad. And I miss him. And I'll never forget going there to the house, and me and my oldest brother, we took care of all the funeral, the affairs, everything, all the, you know, stuff you got to do. And Dad didn't have much. We didn't have to fight over what he had because he didn't have nothing. I told him, I said, the only thing I want of Dad's is his Bible and his notes. And, buddy, I got those. Amen. And I went through where he sat. I went through his little drawer. When I opened his drawer up, he had a pad of paper there, and on the top of it, he had wrote something out, and nothing was underneath it. And this is what he wrote. He says, what to do in case I die? Because Dad knew he was sick. And I looked at that, and I showed it to my oldest brother, and I said, look here. I said, look what Dad wrote, and it's in his writing. I've got that little subheading somewhere in my Bible. I tried to find it a minute ago, but I can't find it. I cut it out and put it in my Bible. And my brother says, he looks at me and goes, well, Brutus, he goes, it's one of two things. He goes, it could be that he didn't have time to write anything down, or everything was taken care of. Yep. Amen. But, you know, I thought about that, and, you know, people that die spiritually, it's a whole lot different than when they die physically.
That's right.
Amen. When you die spiritually, you're the one of the last people to know about it.
Right.
Amen. And if you die spiritually, there's something about you that first pushes everybody away from you that knows anything about God.
That's right.
Amen. So I started thinking one day, well, what if I knew that I was going to die spiritually? I mean, what if I knew that? What would I say to my wife? What would I write down? So I wrote down some things. And I'm not planning on dying spiritually. Amen. I want to stay right. I want to shout my way out of here. But I wrote these things out, and I'm going to tell you something, brethren. Let none of us die spiritually. We can all do that. You're not going to beat death. We're all going to go to the grave or go to heaven or hell. Amen. But you can live your life without dying spiritually.
That's right.
Yeah. So here's what I said. D, even though I'll quit, you stay in church. That's what happens when you die spiritually. D, tell preacher I'm sorry because I'll be mad at him. Because that's what happens when you die. You got to get mad at him.
Yeah.
Amen. You got to get mad at the Ryman family. You got to get mad at Brother Mike and whoever else you got teaching or doing anything around here. Brother Dudley.
Yeah.
I'm mad at him now, and I'm not even. Amen. D, make sure you keep tithing because you'll have to do it secretly without me knowing. Because if I know about it, I won't let you do it. Because I've died. Amen. I don't want, man, I read this stuff and it makes me cringe. I'd hate to have to tell that to thee. Call Brother Ryman and say, Alan, don't call me no more. Because I'm dying and I won't want to talk to you. You'll make me uncomfortable. Amen. Keep encouraging the grandkids to live for God because I won't anymore. Man alive. You say, well, you didn't do that. Yeah, that's what people do when they die. I know that's what they do. I've seen them do it. I've seen it 1,000 times. So you better pray with them. Amen. You better, hey, they better see you shout every once in a while. Because if you die, they won't see you do nothing. You know what they'll do? They'll be around a house with a bitter old man and a bitter old woman. And they'll watch you bite and devour and pick apart the church because you're dead.
Amen.
If you get a chance, D, witness to my friends because I won't. Remember, I'm dead. Amen. D, please stay with me, even though it's going to be hell to live with me now since I've died spiritually. If you're sitting here and already you've wandered away from God, and you know if you've died spiritually, you're hard to live with. Amen. Man, you feel that? You're hard to live with. Why, you can't sing around you. Can't talk about what happened in church. Amen. Is this all right? Are y'all with me? D, it's all right to use me as an example, but you're going to have to do it secretly. Because if I find out about it, I'll be irate. That's what people do when they die spiritually. Don't stop praying for me, please. Amen. I mean, what would you tell your loved ones you're going to die spiritually? Remember, my opinions on things are going to change drastically. My opinions about politics, sin, music, movies, they're going to change drastically. And it's going to change our home. It'll probably be all right now. I'll probably be all right drinking when I wasn't before because I'm dead spiritually. Amen. Probably slip around, try to do drugs again, because it's easy after you've been an addict to get back on it, especially if you die. Pray with the kids, D, because I won't. I'm dead. Woo! Me and D was praying one morning on the front row, and something was going on in the church. I don't know, something special or something, and we knelt down there, was praying together, and we felt these two little hands. And I looked over to my middle grandson, and he had a hold of us both. And he was just crying, saying, Lord, bless my papa and bless my nana. God, bless them, Lord. Woo! Ain't nothing like that. Amen. You know how many people don't have that anymore? You sitting here with your nana. You sitting here with pop-pop. You sitting here with your grandbabies. Amen. And we're shouting, saying amen and all. You die spiritually, you won't be here no more. Yeah. D, sing double loud for me because I've stopped singing. Remember, I'm dead. Amen. D, remember when I was alive because that's the best memories. Don't get mad at folks, D, for acknowledging that I've died. That's what people do. Well, man, they're dead as a doornail. Amen. We've acknowledged. We know, and you have. D, say amen and shout for me because I won't be there. I won't be doing it. D, tell my friends. Tell Brother Chandler and Brother Stalker and Brother Allen and Brother Drummond and Brother Mike, tell them all that I never thought it would go this far. I didn't think it's going to kill me. All I did was let a little bitterness in there. Amen. All I did was, hey, I quit reading my Bible. I didn't think it'd go that far. Tell everybody, D, to stay alive spiritually because this is even worse than death. Remember, D, that all the bitterness and all this coldness and all this meanness, it ain't no reflection on you, honey. It's just because I've died. You know what happens when you die spiritually? You take out all your meanness on the people around you that love you. I've seen it. Amen. my spiritual death, D, is really, it's what got me mad at everyone that really loved me. And I figured out now that's the ones that I loved and they loved me. And I got mad at all them. Whew. What to do in case I die? I had a friend of mine that died here not too long ago, and his daughter called me, and she had to do all the arrangements and all, and she was telling me, she goes, yeah, my daddy said, I know you and him was friends, Brother Mark. Said, I tried to get a hold of daddy on the phone. I couldn't get a hold of him, and he wouldn't answer his phone, so I finally went over to the house, and she said, I went in the room, and there was daddy in the bed. And she said, I lost it. And you know what she did? She called Sister Farley on the phone crying. And she said, what do I do, Miss Marcia? She said, I don't know if daddy's alive or not. She told her what to do to see if he was alive or not. Amen. So that's what I'm going to preach here as an outline. Here's what we're going to do to find out whether or not you're alive or not. All right? Number one, she said, check and see if he's breathing. Check and see if there's any breath in him. Amen. You breathing? You know what that breath is a type of? The Spirit of God. Well, let me ask you something. Spirit of God told you anything lately? You've been led by the Spirit at all lately? Or are you just going through the motions? Amen. You can do it. You can preach and be just as carnal as any lost politician. You can go through the motions as a mama or a daddy, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, and be just as cold and dead as a fish on the bank. Are you breathing? Has the Spirit of God done anything? Amen. When my dad was dying in the hospital there, he was going through his last breaths. You ever been around anybody dying? Man, you almost count the breaths they take. I mean, it's almost like you count in between. And he'd go, and then it seemed like forever, man. And I'd be trying to breathe for him, and then take another breath. And I'd walk over by his bed, and I'd put my hand on his arm. I'd say, it's all right, Dad. I said, we'll take care of Mama. It's okay. You can go on. And then at 8:30 on that morning, he took his last breath. Boy's countenance, totally different. I went over there, and man, I put my face right down there close to his, and see if that breath was no breath at all. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You know you're dead when there's no breath. Amen. I'm just scared to death that our churches are operating dead. It's like a skeleton crew. Like that ship. What's that? I forget the ship now. That ship that traveled, the Flying Dutchman. They said they died and the skeleton crew died. And all that piloted the ship were all skeletons. They made one of them Pirates of the Caribbean after that. That's an old wives' tale. Amen. I know churches that way. Everybody in them's dead. Well, I just don't know about that shouting. No, if I was dead as you, I wouldn't either. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It ain't a logistics thing. People talk about down south, you know, shouting and stuff. They don't shout up north. I can take you to some churches down south that you could ice skate through. Yeah. Amen. Ain't nothing to do with being a Yankee or a Southerner or anything else. It's being alive.
That's right.
The Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is what lifts up Christ, and amen, and stirs us up, well, without him, we're dead.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Amen. You ever been through any of them dead services? Nothing happening.
Yeah.
Guy get up, preach, sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Give a 8-point discourse, you know, man, after a while, you feel like, give me a car or something to play with. Give me a coloring book. I got notebooks of mine, you know, I take notes. I got some where I've drawn pictures. I got wars going on and tank battles and everything. Say, why? Some dry as cracker juice guy up there with nothing on him. Amen. And I'm afraid, man, we're sailing with a skeleton crew. Brother Chandler said, you know what average church is like now? It's like a wax museum. We've gotten cold and just wax cold and cold. Check and see if they're breathing. Tell you what else. Check and see if there's a pulse. If there's a heartbeat. I laid over my daddy, put my head there on his chest. No heartbeat. Nothing going on. My oldest brother looked at me and he goes, well, Brutus, he said, there was four of us in here a minute ago. Now there's only three. Daddy gone. He gone. Amen. You know what? I've watched people die spiritually. You know what's going on? No heart. No heartbeat. Brethren, I'm telling you, you can't get away from it. It sounds corny. It sounds cliche. But I'm telling you, one of the commandments Christ had, one of his foremost commandments, you know what it was? To love one another. And I'll grant it, some of you all make it difficult.
Amen.
Amen. I can't help but love folks. I don't want acquaintances, man. I want friends.
Amen.
Amen. I know you. I want to love you.
Amen.
And there ain't a gay cell in my body. I don't have a feminine side. If I did, you wouldn't want to meet her. There ain't nothing like that. But I'm telling you, everything that connected with God is a heartbeat. Loving folks, the church. And I can watch somebody. I can watch them die. You know what they do? They get cold, indifferent with the things going on in the church. Amen. Somebody said this will preach, man. I just got this off the cuff. Funeral director said, you know, we've buried folks and had to exhume their bodies later. And he says, you know what still happens when they're dead? Their hair still grows. You know what happens when somebody dies spiritually? They always grow their hair out a little longer. Why? Amen. Some of y'all are scared to say amen right there. I'll tell you what else happens when you die, amen, when there ain't no heartbeat no more, you go get you a tattoo. You get acquainted with death, almost like you worship it.
Yeah, come on. Amen.
In the Bible, there's a lot of things that have to do with your heart, man. Your heart, my goodness. If that goes, amen. My little wife, we've been married 40 years, and we have fights. I can still whip her. We have fights and all. I let her win now. But I love her. She loves me. I couldn't imagine not being with her. I'm a frightened child in the face of divorce and that kind of stuff. Amen. I don't want no part of that. I see people do it. You know what happens? They die spiritually. And they got to get mad at the church. I remember when my dad did. My dad got saved, was called to preach, was going to go to Bible school when Jim went to Bible school. I know I've told you that before. Jim and Betty Marie and all of them went down to Bible school, the first class. Dad was going to go. And my dad told me years later, he said, I counted the cost, boy. He said, I had a good job, had a good retirement, and I didn't go. And he got out of the will of God, and he got out of church, and he was one of the meanest men I'd ever been around in my life. What happened? No heart. Heartbeat gone. My mama set me and my brothers down one day, and this will work. This will work for us. She set us down one day, and she goes, I've got all five of you boys here. He said, I need to tell you all something. And we're like, oh, here we go. Mom is on the rampage. Here we all growed up, all of them out of the house, you know, and my mom could point at you, but she looked like she's pointing at the person next to you. She had a crooked finger. She'd say, Rick? And Mom set us all down. Here we all are. I'm the youngest. My oldest brother, he was about 65 at that time. And she goes, I need to tell you boys something. We're like, what? You know, we're all joking around. Shut up. Sit still. She goes, you boys have got a mean streak in you. She said, you got it from your daddy, and he got it from his daddy. And she looked at me, and she goes, Mark, you're the worst. I'm like, uh-uh. I said, I'm the only one in church here. But you know what I figured? She's right. And you know what I know sitting here? You got a mean streak in you, every one of us. And buddy, without the Spirit of God, without preaching, without having your heart open to the Word of God and the Spirit of God moving, you're dying. Check and see if his heart's beating. Amen. Then she told her this. She goes, see if he's cold. Well, that's when you know. Daddy, daddy. You touch his body, boy, you know immediately. Cold. Bible says in Matthew 24 and verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall what?
Wax cold.
Wax cold. And buddy, when love grows cold, you're a mess. You're a mess. Us men that are sitting here, we're macho. You know, we're all, you know, I got a house full of weapons. I got one spot in my house that's about from here to the wall. I got my desk there, my bookshelves, and that's my area. I got swords and knives and switchblades in there and turkey fans on the wall and deer antlers and, amen. I got my gun and my AR-15s in there and no potpourri in my area. I don't want no frilly candle holders. Deal, sneak one in there every once in a while and I'll throw it out in the middle of the floor. Get out of here. Pull. Boom. Amen. And I'm just as much man as any man in here. But I'm going to tell you, if men don't know how to love right, this whole thing grows cold. Amen. And these boys, they'll grow up, they won't even know how to treat a woman. How are they going to stay married? They don't even know how to talk to them. They can't even tell their own wife they love them. Amen. Am I ringing the bell yet? Cold, cold, no Spirit of God, no heart. Amen. I talk to so many teenagers, deal with them now. Whenever you mention from the pulpit, whenever you mention cutters and kids that mutilate themselves, you'll have kids come to you and talk to you. Samson, me and him talk about it a lot. Samson gave me a paper he wrote out, real good stuff. Amen. And once you show people that you care, there's people out there there's kids in our churches, folks, that are mutilating themselves because they don't think anybody loves them. I had a girl one time put an X-Acto blade on the altar, and I seen her do it. I got it, and I talked to her, and I said, girl, what are you doing? And she showed me crying where she cut herself with that. That breaks my heart. And I said, let me ask you this, young lady. You ever thought about taking your own life? She put her head down and started crying. Yeah, Brother Mark. Man, I'm telling you, I said, don't do it, honey. I said, I love you if nobody else does. Amen. You know what she told me later? She goes, you know what happened when you did that? She goes, I got mad at you. I said, you did? I said, why? She says, because you cared. Miss Linda, when I always tell, if a kid's like that, I always tell the mom and dad, I always make sure they know if they're suicidal. You know that mama got mad at me and still mad at me today? They didn't do it to my face. Like any other little sniveling coward. You know, talk about Brother Mark, talk about Brother Allen, but you won't do it to our face. Yeah. Why? Because you're so tough and beat us up? No. I'll tell you what you know. You know we care. You're more afraid of that than you are getting beat up. You'd almost rather get beat up. And we probably would want, well, I better not. Amen. And let me say this, you know they're dead is when you're sitting there in the room and you know they're gone. Well, folks, there's people that used to be here. They're gone. They're gone. Do you want to be the next one? I remember in here, and I don't want to, by the grace of God, I do not want to dig up any bones. I don't want to break anybody's heart. Death is a heartache. But I remember Brother Chandler's got an old boy there in his church, Brother Sims. And Brother Sims was a banker. He was a, man, I mean, a well-off guy. And him and his wife, they retired. And they lived across the street from the church there in that great big old mansion. And Brother Sims and his wife would clean the church. And that old boy got leukemia. And then he got to COVID. And he died. And I went down there to Brother Chandler's to preach this last year. And I'm going to tell you, I was dreading seeing Sister Sims. And she said the same thing about me. She said, I was dreading seeing Brother Mark. She said, why? Because I love them. And man, I seen her and she seen me and we just started bawling because our buddy was gone. Amen. I got friends right now that are in prison, that are doing life in prison, that used to be in church. I got preachers I used to preach with. They're out of the ministry now. They died. I got family members used to sit in the Bible-believing church just like you boys, just like you. You know what happened? They died. They got older, got out of church, out of sight, out of mind. Right. Messed up in the dope, everything else, two or three divorces. They died. Don't die spiritually. Amen. Amen. We got an altar here. Man, you got, this is revival. Come get help. Don't be a hard head. I remember when my dad got back right with God, got back in church. Not many do. And we went to a little church in Kentucky. And it took Dr. Ruckman and them. Doc preached to him, man, and got him back in church. Probably the only man alive that could have done it. And I remember they went to a little Southern Baptist church in Kentucky, and I went down there and preached revival. And there was a young couple that walked the aisle one night to get saved. They was about 19 or 20. They had just gotten married. And I looked down there, and I was going to say, you know, can I get somebody to come down here? And I looked over at my dad, and I pointed like that to Dad. I pointed to a couple. And I'll never forget Dad. He looked at me out, and he goes, me? And I told my Bible up, and I said, and Dad got out of the pew there with his Bible. Amen. He started weeping all the way down there. And I could hear him lead the couple to Christ. And Dad used to preach in the nursing homes. Man, he loved people. And he led, I don't know, hundreds of people to the Lord. And I heard him lead that couple to Christ down there. You know what I thought? He's alive. Boy, that's a lot better in them dark days. Where he's afraid to walk around his chair, wake him up, because he's mean. Amen. I'll take that part of him. Amen. Some of my sister-in-laws, they'd meet my dad, and they'd say, you all talk about your dad like he was a grizzly bear or something. I said, he's a teddy bear. I said, oh, yeah. Kodiak. You don't remember those dark days. So sitting here tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed, the pianist comes. Why don't you gather around an old-fashioned altar and ask God to keep you alive. Amen. Have God move. Amen. Don't die. Amen, son. Got some young folks coming. How about you, young lady? Would you come? Amen. Some of you in church with your family and got people here to love you. All you got to do is love them back. It's pretty easy. Pretty simple. Amen. Come on, would you come? Would you step out and come? I'd hate to have to tell Dee those things, boy, I mentioned tonight. I think about that man alive. Honey, you keep going. You keep traveling around and going to some of the meetings, but I'm going to die spiritually. I won't be with you no more. Just like Brother Danny Mack, he died. He's in heaven, and we take Dee Dee around with us. She represents him well. And that's hard, but I'm telling you, it'd be harder if Brother Danny Mack would have died spiritually. Don't die spiritually. Keep yourself going. Amen. Father, bless this invitation. God, have your way. Do a work, Lord, that needs to be done, I pray. Give Alan wisdom as he comes. And Lord, this church, send revival, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.
Why don't you come? Why don't you pray, God? Don't let me die. While he was preaching that, I thought about so many people that used to be here, that one by one that get their feelings hurt. Somebody said something to them. Somebody did something. You know what they always say? Well, let's go to another church where nobody knows us. But they never get it right. Never get it right. They go in. Some of them don't even go to church, but they go in, never get nothing right. They just stay dead spiritually. They don't go after souls. They get involved in other things. They'll go out and get involved and, you know, just stay busy doing something else.
Yeah.
They'll do something else.
Firehouse.
Yeah, go to the firehouse or go do this or go do that. Try to be involved, but souls dying and going to hell around them. They won't open their mouth. Somebody was talking to one of the guys that got out here. He said, man, it's been 21 years. 21 years out. 21 years gone. Can you imagine that? 21 years. People get mad, get back to drinking, back to doping. Spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. He said, Adam, the day you eat thereof, you're going to surely die. You're going to die. You eat the lies that the devil will tell you, you'll die. You'll die. You'll have something against somebody. You won't get it right. You won't forgive them. You'll die. You'll get bitter. As a pastor, I've been here 34 years. Kind of celebrate that today a little bit. 34 years. You know what I got to do? I got to stay alive. I got to stay spiritually alive. I got to stay tender towards God. Tender towards God's people. I don't want to die. I don't want to die spiritually. I know a lot of preachers right now, not even serving God no more. Bitter. Mad. Mad at the congregation. Mad at Christians. They'll always point their finger. Always do this. It was them. But the truth be known, started in here. Started in your heart. No breath of God on you. I want God to breathe on me. I want him to breathe on me. I want the power of God in my life. I want the Lord. I want to feel his presence. So how do you do that? Stay stirred up about it. Read your Bible. Sing praises to him. Get on your knees at night before you go to bed and talk to him. Pray for your family. Wouldn't it be terrible? Wouldn't it be terrible? After 34 years being here, people are all over this place, knows this church. And then I quit. My grandkids started coming here, and then people say, wasn't your grandfather the pastor down there? What is he doing now? Oh, he's out the bars. He's back to smoking dope. He's back out there drinking. Boy, like he said, it'd be terrible to face people. When they mentioned, I had people say to me, you'd pastor Faith Baptist Church, does so-and-so go to your church? And I go, oh, God. Oh, God. Didn't they used to go? Yeah, they used to. What happened? Sin. Sin got in their life. And we didn't justify it and didn't get, you know, on board with them on it. They go out, they get bitter, and they get mad. You know what they always say? I'm not mad at the preacher. But they are. They're mad at God. God have mercy. God have mercy. Pray that you never get out that way. Pray you never go that way. I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go that way. Amen. Amen. Spiritually dead. Don't let yourself go that way. Amen. Stay stirred up about the Lord. Amen. All right. Amen. Y'all get something tonight? Amen. That was good. That was good preaching. Good preaching. I mean, don't die. You know, the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded. And say, God, help me to be spiritual minded. Help me to think about you. Help me think about you in my daily walk every day. Think about you. It's easy to sit in church. It's easy to sit in church, start looking at other people, say, I'm better than they are. I'm doing more than they are. And they ain't nothing. They ain't, you know, it's easy to do that. Man, oh man, God have mercy, don't do that. So try to encourage them. Try to encourage people. I want to encourage you to get somebody back in church tomorrow night. Start Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, every night at 7 o'clock. Try to get people back in. This is not the normal time we have revival in March. We usually have it in April and then July. You know, I know people get in this sequence of this is not the time that we had. But we're going to do it off the cuff that like we did. We're just going to do it and see God move and pray for God's blessings, and we can see some people get saved and see some Christians get revived. And I'm going to tell you something. We're not going to have a good youth rally if we don't get right with God. If we don't get right, we're not going to have a good youth rally. So we want to get a man on fire. The Lord's blessed the church. God's blessed us. Man, we've been seeing people saved, but we want to see more happen in our life. How many of y'all want to see God do more? Amen. Amen. Start praying today. Tonight, when you go to bed, pray God get people back in. There's people, like I said, sitting at home and just mad or back out doing the same old. And like you said, they always get drinking, get smoking, tattoos. They go off the deep end, and they start doing that junk, and then they get ashamed. And the devil said, you can't go back there. They'll know about you. That's how he works. He's a liar, folks. He's a liar, and he wants to destroy you. You better get back close to God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. Get back close to God. Amen? How many of y'all know somebody in this church used to be here, now they're gone? You just raise your hand. All over the room. Somebody used to be on fire for God, and they're gone. Man, oh man, 34 years, I've seen a bunch. And they always said, I ain't getting out, preacher. I'm with you. And then all of a sudden, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. God help us. Amen. All right. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Come on back, 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Amen. The Lord bless you. Good to see my brother from Virginia and his family. Amen. Good to have them tonight. Amen.